then you sort of get into the position where people don't necessarily know you're pregnant, but you know you're pregnant and your clothes don't really fit, or you feel like they don't look good anymore. And so it's this time, this weird transition time between, you know, like 8 and probably 12 or 13 or 14 weeks where you're like, ugh. Then I can start telling people I was pregnant, which made it a little bit better. But then people are like I told my parents at probably 10 weeks, and my mom goes, oh, I didn't want to say anything, but.
Oh,
I,
no I'm way.
Like, I know. My aunt said the same thing. She was like, I knew. I'm like, oh, like, of course you knew, because I was super lean last summer. This was like the strongest, leanest I've ever been last summer. The most consistent, the strongest, you know, I felt the most vital. And so, yeah, going into that, I was like, oh, man. And you can't help but feel like you're throwing all of your progress away.
Yeah. Hi guys, I am your host, Megan Van Dievender, and this is the Empowerhood Podcast. Empowerhood is all about empowering women no matter where you are and what season you are in life right now. We provide encouragement, inspiration, and resources to get you through anything that you might be going through. Tune in and listen to so many incredible stories from women that have failed, celebrated, thrived, made mistakes. We can all learn from each other to become the best versions of ourselves. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy this episode. All right, well, let's talk. So everyone out there, we have Nora and Matthew back with us today. I'm like, who better to talk about body image than with Nora? I mean, I know I look up to you a lot for body image, and I just think you're a huge leader in the Capital region. With her strength studio and yourself and whatnot and your presence on social media. So let's talk about it. This is kind of a tough subject.
It is. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to it. We're probably not even going to scratch the surface, but yeah,
I know.
However, whatever direction this goes in, I'm sure will be, you know, helpful to someone out there.
Yeah. Well, right now, I mean, you personally, you're having your fifth baby. I mean, I guess we could kind of start there, like body image while pregnant. You know, what does this look like? How do we figure this out?
Yeah, it's crazy because I think every time I've gotten pregnant, it's been like, you know, a different journey. And I think because the changes are so rapid that like that's like one of the biggest kind of like mind F's, like for lack of a better term, that is really what is the most jarring, is just how quickly everything happens. And you're like, especially because it's been, I mean, my youngest is, you know, he's just 3, but like it's been 3 years since I've been pregnant. And I spent those 3 years putting in a lot of effort into my movement routine and my nutrition and really just like making sure that I was putting myself in the best position possible to not just like, you know, look good, but feel good and thrive in my body. And so, you know, getting pregnant this time, and like every time has been different, but this time was really, really hard because first trimester, I felt awful. I was extremely nauseous. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted, like probably the worst I think I've felt through any of my babies. And I was not able to, you know, eat the way that I normally eat because I'd been eating carnivore for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like, you know, eating meat and animal products, it really made me feel really good. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want anything to do with meat first trimester. And I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? I'm also gluten free. So it's not like I could just go get a bagel.
Right.
So that would have had a lot of, you know, major consequences. But I kind of like was like, all right, I'm just going to bend my rules and I'm going to eat what I feel like I can stomach.
Yeah.
And so, you know, every day was definitely a new day.
Yeah.
But, so first trimester was really hard because I also felt like I showed really early. And that was also like, I'm like, okay. So then you sort of get into the position where people don't necessarily know you're pregnant, but you know you're pregnant and your clothes don't really fit, or you feel like they don't look good anymore. And so it's this time, this weird transition time between, you know, like 8 and probably 12 or 13 or 14 weeks where you're like, ugh. Then I can start telling people I was pregnant, which made it a little bit better. But then people are like, like I told my parents at probably 10 weeks. My mom goes, oh, I didn't want to say anything, but
Oh, no way.
My aunt said the same thing. She was like, I knew. I'm like, oh, like, of course you knew, because I was super lean last summer. This was like the strongest, leanest I've ever been last summer. The most consistent, the strongest, you know, I felt the most vital. And so, yeah, going into that, I was like, oh, man. And you can't help but feel like you're throwing all of your progress away.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. I'm like, how does that feel when you go from like your fittest to, you know, not being able to do the things that, you know, make you feel your best and your strongest?
Yeah. I think, you know, a big part of that was the fact that I was able to work out kind of sparingly. Mm. But because like the nausea combined with the fatigue, I kind of felt like I was just sort of fitting it in wherever I could. I was getting through probably a third of the workouts that I was doing. And really a lot of that was just volume. So it was like, instead of doing some sort of like front squat, pull-ups, you know, step downs, rows, like instead of doing all those things, I would just do two things. I would do like a couple sets of back squat or front squat, and then I would do a couple sets of either like pull-ups or pull-downs or something along those lines. And it was like I really – and that, of course, affected my psyche too, because it was a change in routine. And a lot of what makes me feel good in my body is movement and strength training. And when I felt like – I just wanted to like curl up into a ball.
Yeah.
Not even get out of bed. That was like quite the transition. So, you know, all those things kind of combined together is even – I mean, and again, this is my fifth baby. Like, I know what happens during pregnancy. I also know that I've had multiple postpartum periods where, you know, it's not a case of bouncing back, but it's just like, okay, yep, just like slowly getting back into a routine, doing the smart things first, seeing a pelvic floor PT, you know, getting nutrition on point, especially if, you know – I always nurse, so having like being able to balance extra calories with, you know, also then fueling my body in a way that made me feel, you know, energized, but not like, you know, bloated or like overfed.
Right.
So, you know, and like the time, of course, if you're nursing and you're nursing every couple hours, and then, you know, when do you work out? Even as someone who owns a gym, I'm like, I still, it's hard to find the time.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to it for sure.
So, I mean, what would you say, like, when you're going through these things, like, just take it, like, really, like, step by step? Because when you're thinking of it in that, like, overall aspect of, like, holy crap, there's, like, all this stuff going on, then how do you even get to the point where you are moving your body or you are fueling your body in a way that's like really gonna, you know, help your energy? Because it's overwhelming, right? I mean, I think health is overwhelming, especially when you are going through that period where your hormones are out of balance and whatnot. So what would you say, like, just kind of find what's gonna work in that moment or in that season in your life?
I think that for me, and what I know like a lot of my clients have said over the years, is like, if you can find routine, like sort of almost like a new routine, and even if you can't get back to exactly the way you were eating or exactly the way that you were working out, trying to kind of say like, okay, every day is a new day, this is what my new routine is going to be. So for example, for me, I typically worked out, like pre-pregnancy, I worked out 3 times a week. Sometimes I would work out a fourth time if I just happened to be in the gym and had time. But generally like it would be like 3 times a week. And then, like I said, very carnivore heavy diet, a lot of protein. Mm-hmm. And so now I set the goal, like I'm going to work out 2 times a week. If I get in the third session, great. If I don't, I'm not going to beat myself up about it.
Yeah.
And also, again, trying to kind of find, I guess, like some aspects, like a certain percentage of the way that I was eating before. Mm-hmm. So just still prioritizing protein, but I also now eat like more than I did before. So when I couldn't stomach eggs, I was like, well, I do not want eggs for breakfast at all. Cannot even think about eggs. I switched over to like a plain Greek yogurt and like an organic gluten-free granola and some like berries, like strawberries, blueberries, that kind of thing. And so I knew I was still getting protein.
Right.
But I wasn't like forcing myself to eat something that made me feel terrible. So yeah, I think just taking pieces of like, I know that these habits make me feel good. Mm-hmm. And so how can that, you know, slightly adjust during pregnancy so that it is palatable for me? Because if I kind of was like, well, I have to work out 3-4 times a week minimum and I have to eat carnivore, I would have like made myself crazy. And you're setting yourself up for failure and constant guilt if you're like, I'm going to do this no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, so it's making concessions for yourself and, you know, making those judgments of, okay, here I am right now. What am I going to do right now?
Yeah. And I think also knowing that it's like temporary, right? Like, I mean, especially with pregnancy, like it's not permanent. Is it going to be a process? Like, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I think with anything like injury, illness, like all these things, they're temporary. I mean, I know I went through that when I hurt my foot in the fall and I couldn't run anymore. I couldn't lift for 3 weeks, even though you were like, you're going to lift your upper body, Megan. But that's why I have a coach. But anyway, I could not exercise the way that I wanted to exercise. And I got so depressed that I didn't want to eat the way I normally eat either. You know, it was just like I was completely off my routine, completely off everything. And I think that just goes to show whether you're pregnant or going through something in your life, like it's temporary, but you can set yourself in that season with realistic goals that you're going to be able to like get through, which you helped me with that. Cause you're like, well, Megan, you can still do this, this, and this. You might not be able to use your foot, you know? So like making it, even though that's not what I wanted to do, like, you know, I wanted to be able to lift heavy and, you know, run the way I normally run, but I couldn't do that. But you helped me get through that kind of step by step. And that's what you do, you know, for your mamas too, that are coming back postpartum, or even like while they're pregnant, you know, still designing something for them. Even though it most likely isn't what they want to be doing, but it just helps them get through those times where, you know, they can still be strong. It might not be the strong that they want to be, but they can still get there.
Exactly. And I think there's a lot that needs to be prioritized during pregnancy that is not necessarily prioritized in normal training routines. Like there are definitely certain muscle groups that are priority to train during pregnancy. Like I'm actually – specifically, I was like very sad to lose my barbell hip thrusts because like holding the bar across my hips, I was like, I kind of like got through first trimester. And then as soon as I had a bump, I was like, this does not feel right. Because like even doing them light and where I could kind of push the bar down a little bit, it doesn't feel challenging. So I'm like, okay, what else can I do to train my glutes? So rather than like kind of seeing it as like a, no, I'm going to do this no matter what, like reframe it. And that's why I think that working with a coach and consulting with women who have had multiple children and have changed their routine but then gotten back to what they wanted to do postpartum, I think talking to people who have that experience is so valuable. And that's really why like we've had PregnFit forever, but we took it off the schedule back in like 2000. You know, I mean, I guess it must have been like probably late last year. And I was like, well, you know, our pregnant mamas can do the small group program and we'll specify programming for them within the small group program. But also we brought back PregnFit because a lot of it is like conversation that you're having and empathy and hearing other women who have either been through it or are going through it right now. And, you know, we have women from all walks of life in PregnFit right now. We have women who did not work out prior to getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. We have some women who were doing, you know, Orange Theory. We're doing more boot camp style classes. We have people who were kind of like sort of working out, not really. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, the cardio queens, right? So we've got like lots of different types of people, but it's a matter of like, okay, this is what you do normally and it's great for you to love those things. Mm-hmm. But Orange Theory is like really hard during pregnancy and not everyone feels comfortable running or doing a lot of cardio, especially if you are easily out of breath, which is very common. And so it's rather than trying to like fit your life and your routine into the box that it was in before, why not make a new box for now? And that's not saying that like permanently because you're a mom you can't ever do Orange Theory again. Like that's not the case, right? If you love that kind of stuff, you can definitely go back to it. Just be smart in the moment and know what your body needs is a little bit different right now. And then if you want to circle back to that after, our postpartum programs are designed to get you back to that place.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's not giving it up. It's literally just shift and then you can get back to it.
Yeah. I like how you said, like, think outside the box. Because I think, you know, routine is so amazing, but we're so stuck in it that that's what makes us upset when we can't do that same thing that we love. Yeah. So, like, same thing with nutrition. It's like there is so much that you can eat that's still healthy that, you know, you said you were eating mostly meat and you don't eat gluten, but you still found some other things that did feel okay, right? Like, yeah. So it's like there's always a solution. It's just like we have to be like open to finding that and see what makes us feel good, you know, when we're not really feeling like ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I felt hugely guilty first trimester and like a little bit into second trimester too when I really didn't want meat. Because I knew I needed it, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel so bad. Like, I'm going to lose all my protein gains and blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, you know what? I need to shift the focus. And so even some days when I woke up in the morning, I would, like, literally go into the kitchen and have granola with, like, whole milk. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was eating cereal, right? And like a bowl of cereal is like right. A nice, like, quick go-to, right? And it's usually palatable, but like having the whole milk in there was something that I was like, okay, I feel good about this. Like, that's a lot of protein in there. Right. And so even just that, I'm like, just give yourself this credit that you're still trying.
You're
to
trying.
Do,
yeah.
You know what you know you need to
right.
do.
Right. Yeah. It's not like you were eating like exactly. a whole box of cereal with no nutrients or something. You were still nourishing your body.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm curious, what do you think is like the like a good amount of protein per day? Because I feel like this is different between every single person.
So I would say ideally you want to aim for about 30 to 40 grams of protein per meal. Ideally, you know, we say kind of as a general guideline, you want 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal body weight. So if, for example, if like you're trying to lose weight and, you know, your goal weight is, say your goal weight's like 130 pounds, you would have 130 grams of protein. Okay. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than you'd think. And I did definitely shift during pregnancy for sure. But if you're trying to, you know, to gain muscle or maintain muscle, that is kind of the general guideline.
Okay. And is it possible to keep your muscle while you're pregnant? I know a lot of people have that question.
Yeah. You know, it's controversial, right? Because your body has other priorities when you're pregnant. Like, it's literally building a human. So like, firstly, acknowledge that you're building a whole nother life. And so building muscle is going to be challenging. I think over the years with the many hundreds of women I've trained during pregnancy and postpartum, I have had many, many women maintain a great amount of muscle. Mm-hmm. The thing is, it's sometimes hard to aesthetically tell because you have to gain fat also. Mm-hmm. So you have to gain, I think it's like, they say like it's a minimum of like, I think it's like 10 to 15 pounds of fat, like okay. minimum, which is like wild because you're like, what? But fat is the building blocks of like a baby's brain. Like, there's so much that goes into that. So it's not a matter of like, you know, having to like pack on like cheese and stuff. It's like not right. necessarily right. But, you know, again, it's, and I think that this is something that I've struggled with for sure, is I know that I'm actually, like, objectively, I know that I'm pretty much as strong now as I was pre-pregnancy. Like, if I went to press, like, a 20-kilo kettlebell, I could do it. And if I go to – if I tried to max out my squat, like, if I tried to squat 155 pounds, I could do it. Would it feel good? Probably not.
Right.
But again, I know objectively you can for sure maintain muscle during pregnancy. There's just a whole lot of other considerations that, you know, will take place. I think the problem is that we're so worried about this period of pregnancy that we're going to like lose everything.
Yeah.
That then that's where kind of the guilt sets in with like, oh, I didn't get to, you know, I didn't get to my workout today, or I didn't, you know, I didn't work out as many times this week as I should have. And then you start to feel guilty. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose muscle. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to be able to regain it. Like you said earlier, it's temporary and you will be able to regain it.
Yeah.
But not working out and having your muscles atrophy during pregnancy is like, that's also really tough. It really is. It's very hard. And I know there are many women who can't work out during pregnancy for a lot of different reasons. You know, they've either got something high risk going on, or they have like a, like very severe illness where they can't keep anything down and they're extremely fatigued. There are definitely different situations in which women cannot work out like they did or at all, you know, pre-pregnancy. Yeah. But again, hope is not all lost. Does it suck? Yeah, for sure. Even women who are undergoing, you know, fertility treatments, I've had many women who are, you know, they have a whole host of hormones and the body responds in, you know, crazy ways to hormones. Yeah. You gain all this weight that you're like, I didn't change anything except I'm taking these hormones. And it's like, yeah, that's a lot. It's very stressful for your body. And so, and again, it can really throw you for a loop in general in your life and your routine. You know, not to mention like eating and working out. So it's just trying to figure out like what is your specific situation. Right. And again, having resources at your disposal is like, is very valuable for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's very unique to each individual person. Now, comments. So like, I kind of caught on to what your mom said to you. She's like, oh, I didn't want to say. Now, did that bother you?
No, I mean, I think
it's your moment, mom.
I was like, yeah, I know. Because I think the other thing is like, I like, it was because I was very lean. Like when I was pregnant, when I got pregnant, I was, you know, probably like, you know, the lowest body fat that I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
And so, and I like, this is my own fault. I wear very tight clothing. I mean, I own a gym. I wear spandex like 90% of my life. Typically I pair it with a crop top. So I'm like wearing crop tops and leggings. And then all of a sudden I'm either wearing like more baggy things or when I am wearing a crop top, you know, my mom's like kind of like, and my mom, I mean, my mom knows me better than probably, you know, anyone aside from my husband. So, you know, so it's like my mom and my aunt kind of see me regularly and they're like, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was, so yeah, on one hand I was like, you did, you knew. But then the other hand I was like, me too. You know?
Yeah. You didn't take it personally. But I think that comes up a lot, right? Like, I mean, we're constantly dealing with comments, and I know like Grace and I kind of touched this subject like a couple weeks ago of just like how we have a hard time taking a compliment, but we also take in a lot of comments that maybe might seem like a compliment, but maybe they're not. And I think that comes a lot postpartum too, when people are like, oh, you look amazing, or you look like you didn't have a baby. Like, do you take that as like a compliment, or like, how does that come off to you? I'm just curious, like your thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard because I think every woman is different. I feel very lucky that I have not had very many like body image issues, or you know, I never had, you know, disordered eating issues as a kid or as a teenager. And so I think from that perspective, I do feel a little bit like I kind of just kind of let it roll off my back. I'm like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm positive there are many, many women out there who would definitely take those things personally. And, you know, I mean, everyone knows like kind of the rule of thumbs, like you don't ask a woman if she's pregnant.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
But then also, you know, I think there are ways that you can compliment women postpartum that aren't like, oh my God, like you look so skinny or whatever.
Right.
You know, I think there's definitely ways of like, like, oh, you look so beautiful, you know, how are you feeling, or whatever, you know. So I think it's just, it's like tactful, like we want to be kind of, you know, careful, and, you know, understand that like everyone's going to hear things in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, I definitely come from a past of like disordered eating, and I don't know how I felt about it. I definitely didn't take it, like, I mean, because people would say that. I mean, I feel like I didn't lose the weight right away. I don't know how you lost your weight, but it was, like, a couple months. And then with nursing, you know, I did get really skinny, and I wasn't lifting weights at the time. So, just, like, I didn't have that muscle that I have now. But
right.
I don't remember taking it, like, personally, like, oh, you don't even look like you had a baby. Or, like, people almost, like, being kind of, like, haters towards it. Do you ever get that kind of feeling?
Yeah.
But I think I kind of was the same as you. I just kind of brushed it off and was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, nursing and
it's Yeah, and it's hard because like a lot of women have the experience that when they're nursing, they can't lose the weight, or they feel like I tried all the things that I normally do and I still can't lose it. And then it's a matter of like, well, you are sustaining another human with your body. So there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those initial early days for sure help to like, because of course, when you're nursing, it's making your uterus contract back down to size faster.
Right.
So that is definitely aesthetically right where people are going to notice, is they're going to say, oh, like, you know, like you don't have a belly anymore. Like, well, yes, that definitely can come from nursing. But I think as far as like burning calories, like, yes, they say like it burns, I don't know, I've heard like anywhere from like 400 to like 600 calories right. a day, depending obviously on how often you're nursing, because newborn days you're nursing every like hour.
Yes.
And further on, you're nursing every 2, 3, 4, or 5 hours. So it just depends on the individual, but depending on how your body reacts to, those postpartum hormones, especially like prolactin, mm-hmm. which is what we get to like help us to lactate. Right.
Right.
So those things, it just, everyone is so different.
Yeah.
That's why I really think that no matter what, if you're strength training, I think that that's only going to help you. Like no matter what situation you're in, if you're like, I dropped the weight immediately postpartum, you know, with breastfeeding. But then like, I mean, I know that happened to me after I had, I think it was after I had James, my second. I see pictures of myself after James and I'm like, whoa, I was skinny, mm-hmm. like skinny, skinny.
Yeah.
I had no butt. I had no shape. Mm-hmm. I looked very like straight up and down. I was probably like under 120 pounds. I'm 5'4". Like that's very.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same way. I like had no body. I mean, it was just like really, really thin. And it happened after I got Gray to sleep through the night, because when I wasn't sleeping, I couldn't lose the weight. So then once I started sleeping, it just kind of fell off. I wasn't doing anything like in particular. Like I was eating healthy. That's like about it. Well, Nora, you froze up. You there? Oh, there you are. Hi.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry. My internet just like conked out for a second.
Oh, no, it's okay. But I was saying, yeah, so I was, like, kind of the same way. Like, I didn't lose the weight right away because Gray wasn't sleeping. And then once Gray started sleeping through the night, it just, like, kind of fell off. And I wasn't doing anything in particular. I was just kind of eating healthy. But I think you're right. And, like,
yeah.
This could depend on, how many kids you have, too. Like, your body could be different because of – I mean, I've only had one child. But, like, you go from – I mean, you're on your fifth, right? Like, your body must change between these pregnancies. So,
yeah.
Yep, you're breaking up a little bit
again.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think it depends on – yeah, no, I don't know. It's like what is happening with the internet. Like I'm like on a weird spot in my house. Yeah, I also think it depends on your age, right?
Yeah.
So and I think a lot of it tends to be – I mean, obviously it's hormonally based. Sorry, this is like –
It's okay.
That better? Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's hormonally based, but I think it also depends on your nutrition, like hugely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just general movement. Because like I see a lot of times postpartum women are like, well, I just have to like get into running again, or mm-hmm. I have to like, you know, get on my Peloton. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. But like, why don't we try like walking first? Like walking is amazing for you. It's really, it's been proven to be like very good for your mindset, like your mental well-being.
Yeah.
Especially if you're walking outside.
Yeah.
Go outside, right? Like
get
unless
some sun.
You live in the tundra, like we do. Yeah, go outside and get fresh air. And I think that's like number one, because again, we sort of get into this, like, look, firstly, I don't know about you, but, like, I, like, despise the Peloton because, like, my, like, the position of the seat, I, like, hate getting on bikes. I hate them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not into
cycling.
You know me, I'm a runner and a lifter.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, running is great, but there's a lot of groundwork that you have to do, like, you know, muscle-wise, pelvic floor, like all of those accessory muscles in your hips, your lower back, your core, like all those things have to happen in order for the mechanics of running to be optimal.
Yeah, totally.
So that's another piece of it where you know, just getting back into cardio may not necessarily be the answer that a lot of women think it is.
Well, walking is cardio. I think, like, walking is so underrated. It's like you can take your baby out, like, a day old, as long as it's not, like, the tundra, like you said. And, you know, just go for a slow walk. Like, why not just start there? And then when you're ready, get back into strength training and work your way up to running, if that's your – or the Peloton or whatever your goal is to be.
Yeah, and I think, like, typically we say timeline-wise – I mean, everyone is different, but a lot of times, like, if someone asks me, you know, when can I get back into running? Like, usually what I say is, firstly, focus on, like, initial recovery. So, you know, nutrient-dense foods, rest, like, those first 4 weeks are just so important for that.
Yeah.
You know, spend time with your baby, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's first. Then pelvic floor PT. So whenever you, like, stop bleeding, or, like, I mean, depending on if you were post C-section, it can be a little bit longer. Go see a pelvic floor PT, get an assessment, find your baseline. Like, where are you at 6 weeks, 8 weeks postpartum? What is your pelvic floor? How is it responsive? Is it strong? Is it too tight? Is there scar tissue that needs to be worked on? Because again, those things really matter when it comes to, you know, getting into any sort of physical movement, including weightlifting and including cardio and running and all that kind of stuff. And then after that, so once you've seen pelvic floor PT and the pelvic floor PT gives you an indication of where you're at, address that and then go into, like, more of, like, the rehabilitative stuff. So usually pelvic floor PTs will give, like, some sort of, like, routine to do postpartum. That's, like, our early postpartum program, our 4 week program, was literally designed based on a combination of, like, pelvic floor PT type of stuff combined with like, basic strength training. And so you know, again, we kind of progress through that. So that's a 4 week course. So for most women, that takes them to about 10 to 12 weeks postpartum. And then it's a matter of, like, if then at that point you feel like you really want to go for a run at 12 weeks postpartum, that might be the time to do it if you've done all these other things first.
Right.
So it's like, don't do nothing until 12 weeks postpartum and go, oh, it's time for me to run now.
Right.
And also don't listen to your like doctors. Like, OBs will go, just go back to your normal routine at 6 weeks postpartum.
Right.
It's like, no, wait a minute. Like, pump the brakes, do all of the other stuff first. And then get back into, you know, the things that you love. But it's just, it's doing all the steps first that are time consuming and they can be frustrating and boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think our postpartum class is that exciting, but it's necessary.
It is. Right? And I mean, I think that's so, with any movement though, right? It's like, you can't rush growth. Like, it takes time. Yeah. And I think that's one of, like, the biggest lessons I've learned in the past, like, 5 years with working out and running and lifting and all this stuff. You can't rush it, because then you get injured, right? So, like, same thing if you're just going to go out and go running after you have a baby. Like, that is not going to be a good thing. So there's going to be other things that, So, I mean, same if you're going to go just try to back squat, you know, a ton of weight. It's like, it's just not going to be okay. So you have to put in like that structure and that those step-by-step things to get where you want to go. And that's for anything. But I think it's so important, like, for our body image and to, like, be able to go out into our world and deal with all the stuff that is thrown at us every single day as women, to have that set up for yourself to do the things that are going to get you to where you want to be, that you're going to feel your best, right? I mean, do you agree? Is that, like, what would you best say? Like, how do we do this, right? We're bombarded on social media with comparison, you know, really everywhere. Like, it's like magazines everywhere on the internet with ads and whatnot. We're constantly, and now there's all this AI stuff coming up, which is a topic for another day, but, like, what do we do to make ourselves feel the best that we can? And I think everything that we talked about today, it's like finding your structure within the season that you're in, showing up consistently in a realistic way where you're not going to feel guilty, right?
Yep.
And taking it, putting in the work and the steps that you need to do to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also, like, you always have to have an assessment And like, you know, even like a monthly assessment of like, where am I at right now in my life and what is realistic for me? Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we set this ideal of like, okay, I'm 6 weeks postpartum. I'm going to go back to the gym. I'm going to be at the gym 5 days a week at 5 a.m. and I'm going to like kick my own butt. Like mm-hmm. that to me is like, that's probably not where you're at right now. Yeah. And nursing or not, baby sleeping or not sleeping, totally regardless, mm-hmm. those things, it's like assessing where you are.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're not postpartum, if you didn't just have a baby, again, getting into a routine like that where you're expecting yourself to show up 5 days a week is likely not sustainable for most people. And it could be sustainable for some people. It's totally possible that you could jump into a routine and stick with it forever, which is like great. But statistically speaking, like we're not going, that's why, you know, there's that rush of all the New Year's resolutioners in January. Right. So like we have like, there's a reason why.
And then there's a quitter's insane. Day too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So, you know, I think that is like, is just assessing where you are and what's realistic for you is like really important. I do think I will say, a lot of people say, well, just work out from home or do stuff from home. And I think on some level that can be true. However, I would caution people to say that having your home be the place where you work out is very unsustainable for a lot of mm-hmm. women who have children, babies, children, like other things going on at their house. Mm-hmm. Even if you're someone who works from home, it's very hard to create that space, mm-hmm. that motivation. And it's like, well, all I have to do is go down to the basement, or all I have to do is just get on my Peloton bike. Well, a lot of times you're just not going to do that, right? So sometimes having that space. And so so at Her Strength, we call it like, we want to be your third space, mm-hmm. right? So you have your home space, you have your workspace, and you have your third space. And so if you can create that third space for yourself, if you mm-hmm. can find the third space, it can be very conducive to a routine, right? So we're, you know, I've learned over the years, like I've been training a long time, and a lot of it is just accountability. Mm-hmm. So it's not just accountability from the coaches, but it's also finding a community of people who expect you to show up and are excited to see you when you get there. Yeah. And again, even if you're not showing up super like jazzed to work out, but you showed up anyway, you're still going to be happy that you showed up and did the work. You know, in that time where you were feeling less than motivated, because we all know motivation is not real. It's not a real thing. Yeah. You can feel excited about something for a week, a month, maybe even a year.
Yeah.
But eventually motivation is going to drop off, and you're going to either have to make a decision to end it there and be ruled by your emotions, or make that decision to be consistent and show up even when it's hard, even when you don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that those are things that like are important to acknowledge, because there are a lot of gyms and workout, you know, trends and routines that are like very much like led by bumping music, screaming trainers. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of just like noise. And at the end of the day, what happens when you take away that noise? Mm-hmm. You have to make that call. Are you going to continue mm-hmm. if that were to go away? Well, a lot of us got that answer during COVID.
Right.
It was like all the gyms shut down. And what did we do? I mean, I had a lot of people who continued to work out at home, you know, on live stream, which was great. But then you had people who just like completely, I mean, I'm sure their lives were thrown upside down like we all were.
Yeah.
But like there were people who just completely just dropped off the map. So it's a matter of like you have to find within yourself what is really going to drive you. And a lot of times it's a decision to be consistent even when you don't want to show up, even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it, which is a crazy concept for people, because a lot of people don't do anything they don't want to do, which is crazy.
It's consistency and discipline. And I think when you have that, you feel so good about yourself just being able to show up at that gym and be surrounded by women that are doing the same thing, that showed up, maybe even if they didn't want to that day, or could be going through the same thing as you or whatnot. But yeah, I think having that community, especially of women, I mean, I think it just helps that they're women. And I think you're right. Like, when you get into that habit and continue to do that for yourself, even when it's hard, it feels even better.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. And I think that, like, again, you can set yourself up for failure by expecting something that's unrealistic, or you can set yourself up for success by finding a routine that is sustainable. And a lot of times we say to people when they first come in for their consult, they're like, how many days should I do a week? And I'm like, honestly, if you're starting out from nothing, two days a week.
Yeah.
One is not enough. And I've seen this over and over again. One is not enough. One is 1/7 of your week. And it's like a heck of a lot less percentage wise when we're talking like you're there for an hour. Right. But 2 days a week is enough to establish your routine and to actually feel like you're making progress when you're there. Yeah. 4 days a week, 5 days a week, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. Some people can successfully start out with 3 days and maintain that. But again, it very much depends on where you're at in your life. Yes. So, you know, it's different for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a huge believer. Start smaller and then just work your way up. I mean, you can always add more and then you're going to feel even better about it, you know, instead of like having to take away and feeling like crap. Yeah. No, yeah, that's huge.
Exactly.
Yeah. For sure. So what would you say out there before we wrap up? What is the first thing women should do to help with their body image?
So I think honestly, like, the number one is like, get off social media.
I know. Yeah.
And like you said earlier, you hinted toward this, like, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be someone fitter. There's always going to be someone stronger. There's always going to be someone who's in a completely different place in their life. But keep in mind that social media it's a highlight reel and it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So shut off social media because you're going to make yourself crazy. And find someone who can help you establish a real sustainable routine. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. Thanks, Nora.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
And you know, I totally agree.
I know.
Yeah. It's like whenever I'm going through an issue with myself and my own self-esteem, I'm like, all right, got to get off social media because without it, it's like a whole different world. Yeah.
100%. And it used to be like magazines, right? We could just like not buy the magazine, not buy like the Teen Beat magazine. Like all the pop stars that have been like photoshopped.
Yeah.
But now like everyone's photoshopped.
And now we're so going into like, this AI thing again, which I guess I'm going to have an episode about this, but like it's freaky. It freaks me out. Yeah. So but like literally if you are on social media, just be like, nothing's real. Literally nothing is real. So you can't even compare yourself because nothing is real. Yeah.
Nope. Find a real person you can talk to in person, like go to a physical place where you are physically talking to a person in the same room as you, and then address, you know, what your goals are from there. And it's like, that's how to establish a routine that you can stick to. Cause like those people, like, I know obviously her strength is my heart and soul, but there are lots of places out there that genuinely want to help people.
Yes.
And can help you establish that routine and the accountability associated with it.
And I think keep in mind that we all have like hard days too. And it's like, I can't think of like the comment, but it's like when you're being hard on yourself, someone else is admiring you. And it's like, I think that is so true. Cause like we can't see our true colors and how amazing we are, but we can see it in someone else. It's like, you know, like I look at you and I'm like, Nora, you're amazing. You're so beautiful, blah, 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 blah. But then I'm like, you're probably thinking the same thing about me, but like, I can't think of it as to myself, you know? So it's like, just be so kind to yourself and just remind you that you're special and that, you know, you're beautiful right where you are, and you can take those steps to really take care of yourself.
And I think a lot of it too is like it's establishing self-worth, right? If you think that you're worth it, then you're going to be a lot more likely to stick to something. You know, and it's a lot of times, you know, you see people very hesitant to monetarily invest, like they're investing their money, they're investing their time and their energy into something that is in and of itself an investment mm-hmm. and in the future and their health. And I think a lot of times people are like, well, this is like really expensive. And it's like, at the end of the day, what is your most valuable, like, you know, what is your most valuable commodity? And it's like your time, no matter what. And so if you have your health, you're probably going to have more time. And so I think that that's really what it comes down to, is like knowing that you are worth the investment, and knowing that, you know, if you take that time to invest into yourself, mm-hmm. you take the energy, you take the money, you invest it into yourself, it's going to make huge returns, not only in your own life, but in the lives of the people around you and the people that rely on you and the people that you love and love you. And, you know, it really goes so much further than just like looking good in, you know, Absolutely. A pair of leather pants. So much more than that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. So. Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to have you on.
My pleasure.
Thanks. All right, I'll talk to you later. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Empowerhood is brought to you by Flourish Everyday Coaching. Check them out in the link below. And again, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. If you could take 60 seconds of your time and leave us an Apple review, this helps share the news about this podcast and help women all over the world. If you want to see the video version of this podcast, you can go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there. Thank you so much, and we'll see you at the next episode.